Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Masechet Sukkah, Daf Chav Dalet, the second parak, Hayashen Tachas Amita. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, a brisa was brought that taught. The Rebbe Meir holds that a live animal may not be used as a sukkah wall. Abai said the Rebbe Meir's reason for disqualifying an animal is that it might die, whereas Rebbe Zera said his reason is that it might run away. The Gemara points out here that the implication is that midaraisa mechitz ma'al yehi. Midaraisa, an animal, is a valid partition, and it's the Rabbanan that where it goes to that it should not be used. Now, if this is so, then according to Rabbi Meir, to tamei mimshum gola, an animal should become tamei if it was being used as a tomb covering. But it was taught in a Mishnah that Rabbi Meir holds that such an animal is tahor. The Rabbanan can be more machmir when the Torah is more meikel, but they can't be more meikel when the Torah is machmir. The Gemara concedes this and therefore disproves Abai and Rabbi Zera's reasons and presents Rav Acher bar Yaakov's pshat that Rabbi Meir holds kol mechitza shomeres baruach ein mechitza. Any mechitza that stands erect because of breath is not a kosher mechitza. Others say the Rav Acher bar Yaakov said that Rabbi Meir holds any mechitza that's not made by man is not a mechitza. The nafka mina between the two is where he propped up a wall with a nod tapuach, an inflated wineskin. Point number two, the Gemara brought a brisa on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph regarding what may not be done with live animals and concluded that Rabbi Yossi Galili taught, af ein kosmin lav gitei nashim, one may also not write a get on them. On our Daf, the Gemara explains that Rabbi Yossi Galili learns from Vakasavla, and one writes for her, that one may write a get on any type of writing surface, not just parchment. The word sefer teaches that it must be written on something similar to a sefer, not food or living things. The Gemara explains that the Rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Yossi Galili and hold that one may write again on an animal learn that the word sefer teaches l'sfiras dvarim ba'amahu da'asa, that a get should be a narration of words that convey that he's divorcing her. Rashi explains that the word sefer is not referring to the klaf, the writing surface, but rather the formula of severance that the husband is communicating within the get. Therefore, the Torah is not putting a limitation on any writing surface, and animals can be used as well. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, if one makes a sukkah among the trees, with the trees serving as walls for it, it is kosher. The Gemara questions Rav Acher bar Yaakov, who said, kol mechitza she'eina yachol lamud beruach metzuya, eina mechitza. Any mechitza that cannot withstand a normal wind is not a kosher mechitza. According to Rav Acher bar Yaakov, the sukkah that uses trees as walls should not be kosher since they sway to and fro from the wind. The Gemara defends Rav Acher bar Yaakov's ruling, clarifying that the Mishnah is discussing a case where the trunk is stiff and the branches do not sway because they were braided with palm branches and bay trees. It was still necessary for the Mishnah to teach that trees may be used as sukkah walls, for one might have thought that we should be goes to the trees should be puzzle as walls, lest one come to use a tree on Yontov. So once again, the three points are number one. On Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, a brisa was brought that taught that Rebbe Meir holds that a live animal may not be used as a sukkah wall. Abai said that Rebbe Meir's reason for disqualifying an animal is that it might die, whereas Rabbi Zera said his reason is that it might run away. The Gemara points out here that the implication is that midaraisa mechitza ma'al yehi. Midaraisa, an animal, is a valid partition, and it's the Rabbanan that where it goes to that it should not be used. Now, if this is so, then according to Rebbe Meir, to tamei mishum golo, an animal should become tamei if it was being used as a tomb covering. But it was taught in the Mishnah that Rebbe Meir holds that such an animal is tahor. The Rabbanan can be more machmir when the Torah is more meikel, but they can't be more meikel when the Torah is machmir. The Gemara concedes this, and therefore disproves Abai and Rabbi Zera's reasons, and presents Rav Acher bar Yaakov's pshat. The Rebbe Meir holds, kol mechitza shomeres baruch eina mechitza. Any mechitza that stands erect because of breath is not a kosher mechitza. Others say the Rav Acher bar Yaakov said the Rebbe Meir holds, any mechitza that's not made by man is not a mechitza. The nafka mina between the two is where he propped up a wall with a nod tapuach, an inflated wineskin. Pointing to the Gemara brought a brisa on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph regarding what may not be done with live animals, and concluded that Rabbi Yossi Galili taught, af ein kosmin lav gitei nashim, one may also not write a get on them. On our Daf, the Gemara explains that Rabbi Yossi Galili learns from Vakasavla, and one writes for her, that one may write the get on any type of writing surface, not just parchment. The word sefer teaches that it must be written on something similar to a sefer, not food or living things. The Gemara explains that the Rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Yossi Galili and hold that one may write a get on an animal learn that the word sefer teaches l'sfiras dvarim ba'amahu da'asa, that a get should be a narration of words that convey that he's divorcing her. Rashi explains that the word sefer is not referring to the klaf, the writing surface, but rather the formula of severance that the husband is communicating within the get. Therefore, the Torah is not putting a limitation on any writing surface, and animals can be used as well. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, if one makes a sukkah among the trees, with the trees serving as walls for it, it's kosher. The Gemara questions Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who said, Kol mechitza she'eini yechol lamod beruch metzuya eini mechitza. Any mechitza that cannot withstand a normal wind is not a kosher mechitza. According to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the sukkah that uses trees as walls should not be kosher, since they sway to and fro from the wind. The Gemara defends Rav Acha bar Yaakov's ruling, clarifying that the Mishnah is discussing a case where the trunk is stiff and the branches do not sway because they were braided with palm branches and bay trees. It was still necessary for the Mishnah to teach that trees may be used as sukkah walls, for one might have thought that we should be gozer that trees should be pustle as walls, lest one come to use the tree on Yontav. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Dav Chav Dalet, and our standard simmon is a kud, a pitcher. So here goes. When the inflatable pitcher of air uses a sukkah wall, popped when the cow with a get written all over it bit into it, it flew into the tree, serving as walls for the neighbor's sukkah. Once again, it's slow motion. When the inflatable pitcher of air, pitcher, that must be more on Dav Chav Dalet. When the inflatable pitcher of air uses a sukkah wall, which reminds us on Dav Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, a brice was brought that taught the Rebbe Meir holds that a live animal may not be used as a sukkah wall. After Abayin Rebbe Zera's explanations for Rebbe Meir are disproved, the Gemara presents Rebbe Acha bar Yaakov's pshat. The Rebbe Meir holds kol mechitza shomeres baruch in a mechitza. Any mechitza that stands erect because of breath is not a kosher mechitza. Others say the Rebbe Acha bar Yaakov said the Rebbe Meir holds any mechitza that is not made by man is not a mechitza. The nafka meaning between the two is where he propped up a wall with a node tapuach, an inflated wineskin. So when the inflatable pitcher of air uses a sukkah wall, popped when the cow with a get written all over it bit into it, which reminds us that we learn Rabbi Yosef Guli holds that one may not write a get on an animal. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yosef Guli learns from a kasavla, and one writes for her, that one may write a get on any type of writing surface, not just parchment. The word sefer teaches that it must be written on something similar to a sefer, not food or living things. The Gemara explains that the Rabban who argue with Rabbi Yosef Guli and hold that one may write a get on an animal learn that the word sefer teaches l'sfiras dvarim ba'alma hu da'asa, that a get should be a narration of words that convey that he's divorcing her. Rashi explains that the word sefer is not referring to the klaf, the writing surface, but rather the formula of severance that the husband is communicating within the get. Therefore, the Torah is not putting a limitation on any writing surface, and animals can be used as well. So when the inflatable pitcher of air uses a sukkah wall, popped when the cow with a get written all over it bit into it, it flew into the tree, serving as walls for the neighbor's sukkah. Which reminds me, the next Mishnah states, if one makes a sukkah among the trees, with the tree serving as walls for it, it's kosher. The Gemara questions Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who said that any mechitza that cannot withstand a normal wind is not a kosher mechitza. According to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the sukkah that uses trees as walls should not be kosher, since they sway to and fro from the wind. The Gemara defends Rav Acha bar Yaakov's ruling, clarifying that the Mishnah is discussing a case where the trunk is stiff and the branches do not sway because they were braided with palm branches and bay trees. It's still necessary for the Mishnah to teach that trees may be used as sukkah walls, for one might have thought we should be gozer that trees should be possible as walls, lest one come to use the tree on Yontav. So once again, when the inflatable pitcher of air used as a sukkah wall popped when the cow with a get written all over it bit into it, it flew into the tree, serving as walls for the neighbor's sukkah. All right, now it's time for our four blabat chazara. Dav Chaf, so the Simmer Dav Chaf is a cafe. So here goes. The Leatherback Cafe, that must be more in Dav Chaf. The Leatherback Cafe, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Mishnah in 80s that taught, Kol chotzoas metamin tmei meis divi Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa says that all chotzoas are makabel tumas meis, and the chamim are understood to say they are also makabel tumas midras. Chotzoas are defined as leather bags. Rashi explains that shepherds use them for pillows when they lie down to rest. Rabbi Dosa holds that since this is not their primary use, and shepherds are not encouraged to lie down on the job, they're not makabel tumas midras. Reish Lakish says they're machotzoas mamish, real mats. So, the Leatherback Cafe, where guests occasionally sat on mats to regal and forgotten Torah from the newly arrived sages from Bavel, which reminds us of how Reish Lakish recalled Rabbi Chiya and his son's pshat in the Machos between Rabbi Dosa and the Chami by first mentioning three times the Torah was forgotten and was retaught by those that came from Bavel. The first time by Ezra Sofer, then Hillel HaZaken, and then Rabbi Chiya and his sons. And Rabbi Chiya and his sons said that Rabbi Dosa and the Chami are arguing over mats that most people do not designate for sitting on. Rabbi Dosa holds that they are not makabel tumas midras, and the Chamim hold that since some people occasionally sit on them, they are makabel tumas midras. So the Leatherback Cafe, where guests occasionally sit on mats to relearn forgotten Torah from the newly arrived sages from Bavel, organized beds in their sukkah restaurant on sukkos for really tired guests to sleep under. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the second barak states, Hayashin takhuz amita basukkah yatsi de chovaso, one who sleeps under the bed in a sukkah has not fulfilled his chiyuv to dwell in a sukkah. Rashi explains that the bed serves as an independent oel and is a barrier between him and the sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda said it was our practice that we would sleep under the bed in the sukkah in the presence of the zakenim, and they didn't say a word in protest. The Gemara will explain that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the bed is considered an oel arai, a temporary dwelling. Belasi oel arai umavato oel keva. A temporary shelter doesn't supersede the permanent shelter of the sukkah. Daf Chafal, so the Simmer Daf Chafal is a car, pronounced ka, by people from Boston. So here goes. The kids in the ka, that must be one Daf Chafal. The kids in the ka taking a tour through the Tahor Safari Park, who were on the lookout for naturally formed ohels, burrowed by weasels, which reminds Rebuta learns that kol ohel she'ino asubi de adam, ain't ohel. Any ohel that's not made by man is not an ohel with regard to Tumah from a Gezer Shava, based on the word ohel, just as the ohel in the case of the Mishkan refers to an ohel made by man, so too here in the case of Tumah, the term ohel refers to a shelter made by man. The Rabbanan who dispute Rabbi Yehuda and rule that even a naturally formed ohel, such as one burrowed by a weasel, transmit Tumah, they learn it from the repetitive expressions of ohel, ohel, written in the context of Tumah, that it comes to include the law of Tumah even by a naturally formed ohel. So the kids in the ka taking a tour through the Tahor Safari Park, who were on the lookout for naturally formed ohels burrowed by weasels, were astonished when they saw wide-bellied oxen carrying children down to a stream, which reminds us that more questions whether Rabbi Yehuda indeed holds that ko ohel she'eno asui bide adam eino ohel, citing a mission from Parah about the children raised in purity so they eventually could draw water for the ikon involved in the Paraduma. The Tanakhama holds they rode on top of doors that were on top of oxen as they went down to the stream so they could not become tamim. And Rabbi Yehuda said, "Wohayu mevi'in durasos el shvarim." They would not bring down doors, but rather wide-bellied oxen. It was these oxen that shielded the children from any tumas. We see from here that Rabbi Yehuda rules that the naturally formed ohel by the oxen's back constitutes an ohel. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Elazar, "Mod Rabbi Yehuda kamaya egrov." Rabbi Yehuda agrees in the case of a naturally formed ohel that is large as a fist that it is deemed an ohel. So the kids in the ka taking a tour through the Tahor Safari Park, who were on the lookout for naturally formed ohels burrowed by weasels, were astonished when they saw wide-bellied oxen carrying children down to a stream, being led by two Talmid Chachamim involved in casual. Which reminds the Gemara asks, "Menayin shafil sichas Talmid Chachamim sricha limud?" From where do we know that even the casual conversation of Talmid Chachamim requires study? For it is stated, "Va'alehu lo yibo," and whose leaves do not wither. Leaves are the lightest part of the tree, representing a Talmid Chachamim's casual speech, and they do not wither, but endure. Dav Chabes, so the Simmer Dav Chabes is a cab. So here goes. When the cab, that must be more Dav Chabes. When the cab crashed into the Sukkah Mudvlelis with the staggered schach, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Sukkah Mudvlelis v'shesilas merubah mechamasa kosher a sukkah. That is Mudvlelis, and whose shade exceeds its light. Its kosher. Rav said that it's a sukkah ania. It means a meager sukkah, one that's covered with a thin layer of schach, with many gaps between the various reeds, but no gap is three tefachim wide. Shmuel said the Mishnah refers to a sukkah whose schach is arranged so that one reed is up and one reed is down. And because of this arrangement, the sukkah is more sunlit than shaded. The Mishnah is coming to teach that the sukkah is nonetheless kosher, since the sukkah would be more shaded than sunlit if all the schach were on the same level. So when the cab crashed into the sukkah of Mudvlelis with the staggered schach, the upper reeds that were a tefach thick collapsed in between the lower reeds, which reminds us. Regarding Shmuel's understanding that the sukkah of Mudvlelis is a sukkah with staggered schach, Abai said that the sukkah is only kosher when there isn't a gap of three tefachim between the upper and lower schach. But if there's a gap of three tefachim, the sukkah is pasul, for the two levels of schach cannot be viewed as joined together. Rava said that three tefachim open space is kosher if the reeds of the upper level are tefach wide, damrin and chaburami. For then we say, lower and cast the upper reed upon the space below. Rava asserts that a chabur only applies if the covering is at least a tefach wide, in which case the covering is wide enough to constitute an ohel in its own right. So when the cab crashed into the sukkah mudvlelis with the staggered schach, the upper reeds that were a tefach thick collapsed in between the lower reeds, making the sukkah dark like a house. Which reminds us that the Mishnah stated, "Mu'uba k'min bayis afu b'she'en ha'kochavim niri mitocha k'sher ha'sukkah," that is thickly covered like a house, even though the stars cannot be seen from inside it, is kosher. But it was taught in a braisa, if the schach is so thick that even the rays of the sun cannot be seen from inside the sukkah, Beis Shammai pasul the sukkah and Beis Hillel is makshir. Rashi explains that according to Beis Shammai, a sukkah with such thick schach is not like a sukkah at all. It's rather like a house, which is certainly pasul for the mitzvah. Dav Chav Gimel, so the Simur Chav Gimel is kugelach. So here goes. When the Kugelach Championship, that must be one Daf Chav Gimel. when the Kugelach championship taking place in the sukkah on the boat suddenly stopped when the sukkah blew away, which reminds the Gemara says the Tana of the Mishnah that a sukkah on top of an agala or sfinas kosher is Rabbi Akiva, who argues with Rabban Gamliel. A Brice relates Rabbi Akiva built a sukkah on a ship, and the next day it blew over, and Rabban Gamliel asked him rhetorically, Akiva, where's your sukkah now? Abai said that Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva disagree, where it's possible for the sukkah to withstand a usual land wind, but cannot withstand an unusual land wind, which Rashi says is the equivalent of a usual sea wind. Rabban Gamliel holds sukkah's dearest keva be'inan. A sukkah needs to be a fixed dwelling and must be able to withstand a normal sea wind. Rabbi Akiva holds that sukkah's dearest arai be'inan, and since it can withstand a normal land wind, it's kosher. So when the Kugelach championship taking place in the sukkah on the boat suddenly stopped when the sukkah blew away, the kids were transporting sukkahs on top of camels, which reminds the Gemara in Arik Daf says that the Tana of the Mishnah that states that a sukkah on top of a camel is kosher is Rabbi Meir, who argues with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that we derive from Chag HaSukkos Tatzel Choshivas Yamim, the festival of sukkahs you shall make for yourself for 7 days, sukkah rui goshiva shma sukkah, that a sukkah that is fit for use for all 7 days is deemed a kosher sukkah. But if it cannot be used for all 7 days, it is not deemed a sukkah, since a sukkah on top of an animal may not be used on the first day of sukkahs, which is yantav, because of the rabban against mounting an animal on yantav, it's disqualified from the mitzvah altogether. Rabbi Meir holds the sukkah is fit with the rice for all 7 days, and it's only the Rabbanan that decreed against it. So when the Kugelach championship taking place on the sukkah on the boat suddenly stopped when the sukkah blew away, the kids were transporting sukkahs on top of camels to a sukkah that had a dead animal held up by cords as one of its walls. Which reminds, the Gemara brings a brice in which Rabbi Meir rules that a live animal may not be used as a sukkah wall. The Gemara asks what Rabbi Meir's reason is, and Abai said Shema Tamuz, and Rabbi Zera said Shema Tivrach, maybe it'll run away. The Gemara asks, according to Abai, what concern is there that the animal might die if it's held up by cords from above, preventing it from collapsing? The Gemara answers that there are times that one stands an animal so that its top reaches to less than 3 tefachim from the schach, in a sukkah that's only 10 tefachim high, and once it dies, it shrinks slightly, so the top is 3 tefachim or more from the schach, and it will not be on his mind to repair the defective wall, since it's not noticeably defective. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron, wishing you a great day and great learning.